Welcome to Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh.
That's Jeff. I like to party.
Party on, Wade.
Party on, Wade.
Yeah, it is. So,
what the fuck are you been doing?
I wish I could say I've been doing anything. I feel like I was in Noda at Divine Barrel for like 3 straight weekends, and so I took the last couple weekends off. I'm just like, you know what?
Give the liver and the wallet a break.
Yeah.
But more likely the wallet than
yeah,
the liver.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm going and, you know, tying one on when I'm there because I got to drive back. And it's not,
true.
But, just not really a whole lot of anything. Going through some of the back stock in my fridge, you know.
Yeah.
Good evening.
I feel you. I am not as... of course doing anything, but
and the one person that would ever get you out of your house
is
not here no more.
Yeah,
way to go, Wells.
Yeah, one shithead. But I will be there next recording. By the next recording, I will have been there and back, and I can discuss Triple Crossing and the Vale and all the other places that I'm gonna go. You know what this is like when you are going to a beer destination and you start planning all of these places. I'm sure I'm going to hit about half of them.
Yeah,
that'll
can't confirm. I mean, you know, and like the advice I would give you from the multitude of beercations that I've been on.
Yes.
Is that
please.
Please. I'm trying to decide if it's underestimate or overestimate. Like, give yourself space. 3 breweries in one day. If they're any good at all, can be way too much.
Yes.
Even 2 can sometimes, like, you start losing stuff on the second one anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
and especially with what I drink.
For sure, yeah.
IPAs, my palate's just going
to
be wrecked.
Yeah, by the time you get to that 3rd hazy IPA, nothing's going to taste like anything, or they're all, and it's going to be tough when you go to some place like the Vale that you've been looking forward to.
Yes.
You know, like, I would... This is where I would say, like, make sure you try the styles that you can't normally get in town.
Yes.
You know, go there, try that stuff first. Give yourself time. You know, drink a lot of water in between. It helps just to kind of flush your palate.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you're at a good place, don't leave it.
Yeah.
And which, you know, is tough when there are spots that you want to hit. But if you have any idea that you will ever be back... when you're at a good place, stay at a good place, because too often I feel like, especially like even when you and I have gone brewery hopping, you know, when we're trying to push out quantity, we'll go and it's like, all right, well, I had my 1 or 2 beers here. You're ready to go to the next place. You're not really enjoying anything.
Yeah.
To be able to sit down and take your time and enjoy things and just absorb it all it's important with that kind of trip.
Well, and to that point of try stuff that you can't normally get, like, you know, immediately looking at some of the stuff that's on their tap list and I'm like, oh, I've had that one. Let's avoid all this shit. Like, I'm not gonna get Master Shredder, I'm not gonna get Falcon Smash, I'm not gonna get some of the shit that I have seen regularly here. I want to try some of the stuff that I can't get.
I could maybe make an argument for, like, if Master Shredder is your hands-down, full-out favorite beer, okay, get it fresh on tap.
Totally.
But when it's the, like, I get this as part of my, you know, case that I buy every other week or something like that, don't, you know, be choosy.
Yeah, that is a good point. As you know, like I said, there's at least in my head 4 to 5 breweries that I want to go to,
yes.
And realistically, I'm only there for... 4 days. One of those days is going to a concert, and I don't like going to concerts inebriated at all.
Right.
I feel like it takes everything away from a concert to me. And so that almost just nixes Saturday from really doing anything.
Sure.
Until after the show, or at least at the show. So then now I'm really only looking at a little bit of Friday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yeah.
So I am going to have to choose very carefully. And to your point, like, if I'm really liking the Vale, or I'm really liking Triple Crossing, or wherever it is, like, I'm probably going to want to stay there, because who knows if I am ever going to get back to Richmond.
And if your Friday is such that you've only got time for one, maybe that's the day you go to the one that you're the most excited for.
Mm, yeah.
That way you don't feel the pressure of, I need to make sure I get all these others, because you'll have let's say Sunday and Monday potentially to go visit the other spots that you want to go to.
That's a good point.
Sometimes it's just, you know, like logistics and geography come into play, but just trying to figure out, like, because I know where your head's at. It's this notion of, I have all these things I want to try. Yep. I don't want to miss out on any of them, but I also don't want to not enjoy them. It's like a different version of the bottle share dilemma.
It is. You're right.
You know, like I want to make sure I enjoy all of these appropriately and adequately, and I want to have a great time, but I also want to make sure I don't miss out on anything. And, you know, prioritization is key. I mean, like there were times, you know, when we were in like Seattle, and there's a ton of breweries in even Seattle, and we had to make the call, like, we can go to one more place. Is it this one, or this one? And like, let's go to this one. Maybe we'll pick up the other two next time. Or maybe not, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds like it's going to be fun, though.
Yeah, I'm very excited. By the way, I did look at the... I know, obviously, this isn't happening this year. I looked at the lineup for Dark Lord Day, because they announced the band lineup. And they haven't had anybody new there in like 3 years. It's been the same bands. I'm like,
I wonder if they're all semi-local, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know.
And or I'm like, maybe the same website. I mean, you know, like none of this, I wouldn't, you know, put any of that past, you know, Three Floyds to just have the same bands.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They're bands that I wouldn't mind seeing, but I can remember pre-COVID where it was always somebody new, somebody different. And now it just seems to be like the same bands, different band headlining, but it's like the same four or five bands. And I'm like, well, that's a bummer, because like one of the bands that I'm going to go see in Richmond, they talk about Three Floyds. And it's weird. Three Floyds and craft beer is, or metal musicians, they have this weird relationship, dude. Like, I don't get it.
But I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm not complaining, but.
Sure, but at the same time. Three Floyds was an innovator, and I don't, maybe still is, but I mean, you know, they were doing those kind of collabs with you know, with bands for a long time because of Dark Lord Day.
Yeah,
you know, so true. You know, as they are a brewery that was putting on events featuring, you know, your metal bands.
Yeah,
like they start building those relationships, and so yeah, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, it does. You know what doesn't make a ton of sense?
What's that?
Do you remember Voodoo Brewing?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about them in, I looked it up, October.
Yes.
Voodoo Brewing was going to open a new place in October. And I'm sure we talked about it before October. But October was supposed to be when they opened. And we all were kind of rolling our eyes because, just to catch everybody up, Voodoo Brewing is a franchise setup where you pay in for the franchise, you pay for the training modules, you buy all your stuff from them, and then they make all the beer and they ship it to you.
It is an MLM if I have ever heard of one.
Yeah, Ponzi MLM. But you know, it's beer that's not made locally. They don't even have tanks or anything. It's a tap room.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe good, bad, otherwise, it is what it is.
And they were brave enough to try to open this particular one that we're going to be talking about in Asheville, of all places, where you're like, that shit ain't going to fly there. Well, it turns out it didn't.
Yeah, and I remember us all kind of saying the same thing, like, this really doesn't feel like the kind of thing that's going to last.
Yep, and it sure shit didn't. So it is now called the Flying Squirrel Pub.
Oh, so you're telling me.
Yeah, and it's set to reopen in like 2 days. Yeah,
so
2 days.
So that was fast.
Yeah.
I have to wonder, like, did they actually open? Maybe nobody visited. Like, I'd love to hear the nitty-gritty dirty story of what actually transpired behind the scenes, because this just, like, this feels like a big dose of I told you so.
Yeah, pretty much. And basically what happened is they agreed to part ways with Voodoo Brewing and just kind of move into doing their own thing, which, yeah.
Which, you know, Voodoo's not going to care. They already got their upfront money, which is all they really care about.
Yep.
They get a cash infusion of. I mean, again, like, I hate their business model because it's so smart.
Yes, exactly.
You want to have a tap room for Voodoo, you pay $1 million, let's say, upfront. You buy a bunch of stuff that they got off of Wish.com. You know, it's all Temu shit. And
Temu, my first brewery.
Yeah, and it even has like your favorite, you know, metal chairs and everything.
Oh boy.
And then you get mad and you're like, well, this doesn't work for me. And they're like, all right, cool, we got your money. peace out.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you were exactly right. From a voodoo aspect, they could give a flying fuck because, yep, they got their nut. They don't care. And now this business is having to try to reestablish itself and reintroduce itself to the community as something completely different than what they had already paid for. So I can't imagine they're very happy about this.
But
they signed up for it, so at the same time, I told you so.
Yeah, like I, you know, to a degree, I feel bad for the owners. Like, you know, the brewery world is in such a bad state right now.
Yes.
Like, we don't need to enjoy the failings of someone else. But also, if you're going to pivot this quickly, like, we're talking 6 months or less, you're going to pivot to your own place now.
Yep.
How did you not see this coming?
Yeah.
And I have to wonder, too, like, for all these people that get the Untappd ad, and I'm sure that's what happened, like, oh, I've got this Untappd ad that says I can have my own tap room through Voodoo Brewing and I get a franchise. Like, have you tried their beer? Because it is meh.
Meh.
Yeah. At best.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you remember Anderson Valley?
Oh, man. Weren't they the ones that had the watermelon goza?
That watermelon goza. They always had these, like, weird, kind of funky labels. Like, almost looked like hunting gear. Like, this should have been into Cabela's or something like that.
Okay.
That's how it always felt to me.
Like the art was definitely very Field and Stream.
Yes, it was. It was very Field and Stream, and it was always felt kind of out of place. But beer-wise, I mean, Anderson Valley, it wasn't like they ever made bad beer. They didn't make a lot of stuff I liked, yeah. But...
Every now and then, they would have something that I liked, but, it just, to your point, like, sometimes you just have those breweries that just don't really click for you, and this was one for me. Like, I remember always seeing them, but I just never really saw anything that I wanted. I don't need a Belgian White. I don't need a, you know...
Watermelon goes or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, what's going on with Anderson?
Well, they have sold to a local wine veteran. So somebody in the wine and spirits side of the house.
Oh,
but
goody.
In the wine side of the world, which, when you think about this, this is one of those old dogs. Anderson's been around for a very long time, and they didn't get bought up by private equity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's new. Do you hear that, everyone? It is possible to sell your brewery to someone other than private equity who will run it into the ground.
Exactly, and that's where I think this is actually kind of surprising, is the fact that they didn't get sold to private equity. Just a local dude that has a winery in the same area was like, you know what, I'm just going to buy it.
That's cool, though.
To the tune of $7.9 million.
But, you know, if that gives you extra capacity or... Maybe you just were interested in getting into beer. Maybe you want to... I mean, you know, are they in California?
Yes.
Yeah, Boonville, California. So, you know, you may even... You know, for somebody like this, they may be quite aware of, you know, the story of Russian River and, you know, Vinny's background.
Yes, Vinny, background, Russian River...
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm just, I got the people walking around my house.
It's, yeah.
I told them not to.
Yeah.
Fucking did it anyway. Can't wait to give them the, can't wait for the, hey, would you like to rate our experience? Sure. Yes, I would.
Fuck off.
No,
zero
it's not, I mean, it's not that. It's, you know, it's communication scheme. But yeah, so maybe Anderson or the new owners of Anderson Valley sees the synergy that you could have with wine barrels and, you know, maybe they've got an interest in beer. Like, that's cool, though. I like that.
Yeah, I for one, am just happy it is not private equity. Like, we are not seeing this rolled up into Monster Energy Canarchy. Gosh. And
just to watch them screw it all over.
Yeah.
Because it just seems to keep happening.
It does. And, man, talk about, I know this is a side jag, but talk about one of those places that I don't buy anything from Oscar Blues anymore. I don't know about you, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time and a place where I was still buying Hi-Li, and every now and then would get some Oscar, and they were getting kind of inconsistent, and I just kind of quit, which sucks, because, yep. I mean, you know, for years, it was a reliable and fantastic brewery. Honestly, I'd tell you, the last time I bought it was when they put out Double Dales. Remember, we had Double Dales. I don't know how long ago that was, but...
Yep.
that was kind of the last, like, you know, I had had a couple of off things, not off, but I just not great things from prior to that. I got that Double Dales, and I'm just like, you know what? I think I'm okay. There's enough other options out there.
Yeah, and so that goes, you know, to the point of, did the private equity enshittify the brewery, or did our palates change to the point where, you know, maybe Dales isn't what we thought it was, or...
I would say it's probably as much the former as it is the latter. I do believe that, you know, anytime you've got private equity, they're going to pretend to let you play with it for a while.
Yep.
And then they're going to come in and start putting the screws down. I mean, you know, they fired the brewer from Cigar City. They started moving production all around the place. Yep. Like, you know, a lot of these breweries, I'm not mad that they sell to private equity. I'm mad that private equity is buying them.
Yes.
You know, it's frustrating because these were living, breathing entities that had a staff that loved what they did, and then they just turn into a profit center.
Yeah.
And it's such a frustration.
It really is. Speaking of such a frustration, so you remember, man, it's been a few years ago, but Stone really kind of stood up this, we're going to do our own distro. We're going to become our own distro network. Yeah. And we're going to do all this. Well, guess what? They sold it to AB.
That was right, because it was the whole, like, we're here to help out the little guy.
Yep.
You know, and so we're going to have this distro network, and everybody's going to... So they went and sold it to AB.
Yep.
Well, which, I mean, you know, I guess since Sapporo owns
them...
Yeah,
I was going to say, it doesn't technically really matter anymore, but...
It was probably just another thing on their books that they're waiting for the right price to sell it, move on, but...
Yep.
Oh, Greg Cook, cock.
Yep.
Cock.
Yep.
The turntables.
How the turntables turned. Yeah, I couldn't believe this headline when I read it. I was like... And then, you know, the reality kicks in of, oh, yeah, it's Sapporo really now. It is not Stone anymore. Yeah,
it's Stone in name
only.
But Sapporo looked at it and said, we don't really care about this anymore. We don't want to support it. And somebody offered them money for it, so they took it. I mean, the flip side to it, too, is, like I said a little bit ago, the brewing industry is in a hard spot. So, you know, it shouldn't surprise us when even big or former big companies like Stone have to or want to make moves like this because they like money.
Yeah, you're right. People like money. This article kind of goes in depth to explain how this Stone Network distro became, and they basically ended up purchasing a bunch of existing distribution shit in California and then just kind of kept growing it and growing it and growing it. And
which, I mean, makes sense. In a lot of these smaller distribution houses, you know, end up getting gobbled up by bigger distribution houses. It's just, you know, again, how business tends to work. But Stone had a great idea. And I think they meant well, but somewhere along the lines, Greg got too big for his own pants.
Yeah.
And
today I learned that they were distroing Russian River.
That tracks.
So... And a bunch of other kind of big heavy hitters are in that list, too, that they were responsible for.
I mean, you know, whether you're Russian River or some other California brewery, Stone comes along and says, hey, we want to distro your beer instead of letting AB do it. How do you not say yes to that?
Right.
So it makes sense that they would have a bunch of big-name craft beer houses, but...
Yeah, Beechwood's on that list. Avery's on that list.
Such a shame.
So now, could you imagine just... The fact that Pliny's going to be sitting in an AB warehouse at some point.
Assuming that...
If they keep the contracts alive.
Yeah, assuming that a Russian River has to stay and can't leave. I mean, anything's possible, I guess. It's a nice long pause.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to see if there was any terms about them getting out, and I didn't notice anything. So kind of speaking of these last few stories, kind of go hand in hand. AB is basically closing a brewery in New Hampshire? Yeah. And they're focusing that money into Wicked Weed in Asheville.
Ah, I see. So we're shutting down one way over here on this side of the country. But hey, Wicked Weed, hey, Asheville, you should love us because we're doing stuff here.
Yeah, so they're going to pump $1 million into the Asheville facility. because basically they're shutting down this production facility that was in New Hampshire.
Okay, cool, I guess. I mean, you know.
This was the one that was producing Kona and Omission beer, if you ever remember those beers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what this facility was producing. So
Kona?
Yep, Kona.
I thought that was out of Hawaii.
I mean, in quotation marks, but if you turn around and look, they're doing Kona.
Huh.
I think you might be thinking of Maui Brewing.
Well, it's talking about CBA, which produced Kona and Omission beers.
Yeah, so that was that brewery that was doing that stuff.
Gotcha, okay. I gotcha now. Yeah, I don't know, man. This feels like one of those things that AB hopes you don't connect the dots on. Like, you know,
the Funkatorium will only make Kona now.
Yeah, you know, hey baby, I sold my wife's minivan and bought you this ring. Okay, cool. Like, thanks, but thanks. Also.
Yeah. I guess. Well, so Omission. Do you ever remember? I don't think we ever did Omission beers on the show.
Weren't they like gluten free?
Yeah, it was gluten free.
I think at the time you were trying those and didn't have much good to say, and we just decided it wasn't worth the effort.
Yeah, no, they weren't really all that good. For somebody that had a partner that has some gluten issues, we tried them, and I didn't want to subject you to them.
And I appreciate that. For the first time in forever, you don't troll us. It's great.
Yes. I have been known to troll you with some really good, funny trolls that I did not want to do.
Yeah.
Man, gluten-free beer is just... Bleh. And then you get to the point where you're like, why am I drinking this? Like, right. If I'm going to get crunk, I might as well just drink whiskey or vodka.
Well, and, you know, we have those conversations, and we have them on the regular here. It's like, you know, help me understand why I want, you know, a 250-calorie can of something that tastes as bad.
I mean, I get it if you are actually gluten intolerant.
I get it.
But at the same time, it's kind of like, there's other things to drink if you're gluten intolerant that taste better. Now, granted, this was a very long time ago. I don't know. I haven't had Omission lately. It may have improved. Who knows?
To my, you know, thankfully, knock on wood, I don't have any sort of affliction that prevents me from just taking the original of whatever it is that I want. I can't imagine what it's got to be like to actually be gluten intolerance or
lactose intolerant or whatever intolerant. Yeah.
Could
you imagine lactose free cheese? I mean, I know there are some that are out there that are actually, we eat all the time, that are lactose free, but there is some cheese that isn't.
Lactose free cheese, I could, you know, get behind the, what is it? The Lone Star tick that makes your stomach upset anytime you eat beef. Like, that's the one that scares the crap out of me, to the point that I'm just like, hey,
that's why you're shaved completely all the time.
Well, that's
from head to toe.
That's just for Saturday nights. But, you know, hey, look, you want to go out into the woods and, you know, clear some branches and stuff? Nope. I do not want to take that chance. No, thank you.
Nope. I love my red meat.
That's right.
I shall not.
Yeah.
So, like we said, I guess good for Asheville, good for Wicked Weed to get a little bit of an influx. And, I mean, it's not like that area doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Area definitely needs it.
Yeah, for sure. If they're going to do something like this, I'm glad they're doing it in Asheville as opposed to somebody else, some other town. No offense to the other towns, but, you know, unless you've gone through what Western North Carolina has gone through, like, you know, maybe you're not first in line.
Yeah, and so they're going to use this to kind of boost up their main brew house to increase capacity. Which basically means, like we were saying, Kona and Omission are probably going to soon be brewed at Wicked Weed.
Yeah, I did laugh. I saw they had, so you know they had Pernicious, and then they put out their hazy version, Perny Haze. Well, now I saw they had an Imperial version at the grocery, and I'm just like, no. Still no.
Wait, they're making hazy versions of Pernicious now?
It's called Perny Haze.
Really? Yep. That shows you how checked out I've been on grocery store beer in a while.
Yeah.
And of course, Wicked Weed in general. I had no idea they went that far with it.
Yep.
Interesting.
Gotta hop on the wagon with everybody else.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so sad. It really is just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, that's the news. Is that the news? That's the news.
Yep, that's the news. So you ready for your break?
Please, right. Thank you.
We'll be back in 30. It's time for Buy No Buy. I'll explain how it works. It's pretty simple. We've been drinking some beers on the show. The list is a lot smaller these days because it's just Jeff and I. So if you ever want to donate a beer for us to try, you can hit us up, contact at craftbeercast.com, facebook.com/craftbeercast, or stupid X. Anyways, Jeff, what's the first beer up?
Fun beer that I bumped into by dumb chance. We've had a couple beers from Schilling out of
yes.
New Hampshire on the show. And was at my local bottle shop and saw this. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. Is that it's Schilling beer? And so I, you know, picked it up and immediately had one. And I guess they make a regular version of Alexander, which is a Czech style Pilsner. This is their 10th anniversary version.
Okay.
It was, I don't know, there's some word on here I can't pronounce, but it has whole leaf Sterling hops. This is one of those beers I don't get excited about a Czech style pils very often.
Right.
Especially when you're at the bottle shop and there's, you know, it's can day and we're all drinking, you know, different stuff. But like, I had one of these. I took it over to a buddy of mine. I'm like, you have got to have this. And he got one. He's like, oh my gosh. And he told somebody and they told some, like, before I knew it, you know, there's about a half a dozen cans of this getting open. I think it's awesome. I really like it. I'm a big, huge buy. It is clean. It's crisp. It actually has some flavor to it because sometimes it can be crisp but not have a ton of flavor to it.
Yes.
So, but yeah, this one, super awesome. Love it. Josh?
So as we're in the throes of the great pollinating and spring is upon us, damn, that slaps. That is real good. I really like that. And you're right that, you know, a lot of times these beers, you don't, there isn't a lot to them. This has got body to it. It's got a decent bite to it. It has everything I would look for in a Czech style pils. So absolutely, I will buy this. Next beer up.
Fantastic. Speaking of pollen season, although this one's a little later than this. This was canned a while ago. Scott and I picked this up when he was in town back in the summer. But this is from.
That's been a minute.
It has. But this is Doomtree. From Fonta Flora.
God, it's that name not apropos.
Right, especially right now. Yeah, it's but this is a Kolsch-style lager beer with local elderflower and fresh lemon zest in collaboration with the Wilderness. It's brewed with water from wells. So, I mean...
Wells, what did you do to our beer?
That's right. No, he let it sit in my fridge for too long, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But no, this I liked this. We had it on tap. It was really good. This one unfortunately kind of got stuck in the side drawer, but you know, it's a lager beer, Kolsch, like it should make out fine, and it's been cold the whole time. I think it's held up very well. This is still really good. I really like it. I'm gonna buy. Josh,
I mean, surprisingly, it, as old as it is, and I'm putting this in air quotes, it does hold up very well. You got to give it to Fonta Flora, man. They can always just throw these weird-ass ingredients into a beer, and it just works. And the other part that amazes me is the fact that you actually buy Fonta Flora stuff on the regular now. Not, like, super regular, but...
We went to the tap room there at...
Optimus Hall.
Optimus Hall, thank you. And we had a bunch of different things. We got, like, two flights, pretty much everything they had. And the stuff that we liked, we bought. I mean...
Makes sense.
Ostensibly, that's what you want a flight to do is a couple of them get your customers excited. And they look over and they're like, oh, cool, this one's in the fridge. I'm buying some to take home. So I did.
Absolutely. All right. Final beer up.
Final beer up from Faction out of Alameda, California. This is the Penske File, a 5.8% pale ale with Mosaic and Euconaut. You cannot tell the difference between this beer and what some local breweries pass off as an IPA. This has the hops. This has hops for days. This is West Coast. It's got a little almost of that ghost town stank to it. It is. I like this one a lot. I'm a big buy on this one. Joshy, you came into this one cold, too. Like you
So here's the funny part. So... You know, I'm at Common Market on Saturday. I send Jeff a message. I'm like, hey, how are we looking?
This show not brought to you by Common Market. See, I can do it too.
You can.
That's right.
I was like, hey, how are we looking lineup wise? Like, I've got some stuff, but I don't know. And so I send him a picture of this beer and another beer we're going to have. And I'm like, I'm going in these cold. I have no idea what they're like. I saw this was a pale ale and I went, oh, God, it's going to be one of those. And then the second I tasted it, I'm like, no, this is, hello.
Yeah.
We know how to make a beer.
Yeah, sometimes you get those pale ales and it's like, this is just watered down IPA. And then you get this beer, which is, I mean, like from a body standpoint, maybe a thinner version, but the hops did not get shirked at all.
Like, no, this got bite to it. And the crazy part is, if I remember right, this is like a little over a month old, maybe.
We'll call it. Yeah, it's almost a month old.
Almost a month old. Okay, so I mean, we're still like in that prime zone.
You're into like 4 weeks.
Yeah, but man, like, who the hell are these people? Because I am definitely interested now.
Yeah, I'm excited for the next show.
Yeah,
excited to try the next one.
All right, so it's time for I tapped that. That's pretty simple. Out of the three beers that we had, what would we put on our home kegerators, Jeff?
That faction is absolutely fantastic. I would love to have a keg of that. However, nobody's dethroning Alexander the Great. That is a beer that I would absolutely like. I'll go ahead and run the standard Wells comment of, this is a beer that I could crush and have crushed, and it's also a beer that I could sit and really digest and dissect and pay attention to, and I've done that as well. It's a fantastic beer. I would love to have a keg of this. Because I think what's interesting about it, you know, like we kept talking about, like, it's actually got a little bit of a bite and a little bit of character to it.
Yeah, a body.
Some of these, like Kolsch and other Pilsners, like, I give it the pool test.
Mm-hmm.
You're out in the pool. You've been out there for an hour. You go in. You grab a pour of this, and you take it back out. Does it taste like anything? And a lot of times for that style of beer, the answer is no. I can't tell you why.
Oh, the chlorine.
Maybe, but this I feel like would stand up really well. Very cool beer. Josh, what you tapping?
I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but the Penske Files, man, like.
Why
holy!
I,
that's well, again, we both went into this blind.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no, it's absolutely fantastic beer. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
It's just like a brewery I'd never heard of before, and a style that I typically am kind of like shying away from. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's. I hate to feel, you know, it's that beer snob side of us where we're like, oh yes, give me that IPA, and we see a pale ale, and we're like, I mean, it's about as bad as going into a brewery and seeing that they have a Saison on tap, and I'm just like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
You know, like, is it really a Saison? Is it really a Saison?
Yeah.
Or is it just like, you know, a Belgian blonde?
Wow.
Progress.
All right, so I've already hit where we're at, but Jeff, where's the intro? Where are we
at? Come check us out on the interwebs at craftbeercast.com. Josh mentioned how to get a hold of us through the various methods. You know, reach out. Let us know what you've got going on in your market, or if you've got, you know, some specific topic.
Yep.
I mean, especially since it's just Josh and I every couple of sessions. We've got a little more space to have some conversation. No offense, Wallace. But I mean, like, you know, like, instead of the three of us talking through an article, it's just the two of us. So like, if you've got some idea that you just want to hear us yammer on about for a while within reason, let us know.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, next Thursday?
Yeah, I was going to say our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. That's a great place to throw any stories up there that you may want to have us talk about. And we'll give you some updates. At least two updates. And other than that, we will talk to you all next Thursday.